Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, avid book readers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've tuned into IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The show is Bookshelf, and I'm Hussein. I'm here if you're looking for a good book to read this week. In Islam, we maintain that if God wants His creation to reach salvation, He must guide them. And if He wants His guidance to safely reach His creation, He must send messengers who are free from error. We call this isma. Messengers must be ma'sums or infallible. If Muhammad is to be God's messenger, he must have the ability to receive his message in full. He must be able to deliver it to the people exactly as he received it, without any errors, and he must be infallible in the act of fulfilling God's message. Also, prophets and imams are role models for the rest of the people. Muslims meticulously took note of Muhammad's lifestyle and decisions, and we did the same concerning the imams after Muhammad. But if our role model is to be a sinner, what kind of community is that role model going to build? Therefore, prophets and imams must be infallible from sins too. But how farther does isma, or infallibility, go? Must we expect that they make no error of any kind? Or can we expect the imam to accidentally take a wrong turn while he's walking towards the mosque, a harmless and absolutely human error? The issue of infallibility, how extended it is, and who is and isn't infallible, has been a hot topic in Islamic discourse. Today we want to introduce a book that will significantly increase your knowledge of the topic. Stay tuned.
Prophets all came, prophets all came.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. We are broadcasting from Iran and this is Bookshelf. Before the break, we talked about the necessity of having an infallible imam if the religion is to be perfected. Today we want to discuss infallibility and how extensive it should be. The book we want to introduce today is called Tahara and Isma of the Prophets, Messengers and Awsiya and Imams by Dr. Hatim Abu Shahba, translated by Jeremiah Abu Shahba. Dr. Hatim Abu Shahba was born in 1950. He is an MD and a retired nuclear medicine specialist who practiced at Lux Roosevelt Hospital in Upper West Side, Manhattan. After retiring, he dedicated himself to serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt and the community. He is currently the director of Al-Ghadir Islamic Education Center located in North Bergen, New Jersey, and the Imam of Jum'ah prayers at Zainabia in Irvington, New Jersey. So I have the book in front of me right now. The book consists of 28 pages, and each part is basically a research question. And it includes, what is Tahara and what is Isma? When we speak of Tahara and Isma for the Prophet, Messengers, Awsiya, and the Imams, we ask ourselves, Tahara and Isma from what exactly? What is the meaning of sin? Why is it necessary that the prophets, messengers, awsiya, and imams be purified and protected? Does the tathir and isma of the prophets, messengers, awsiya, and imams conflict with their roles as humans? Does their tahara and isma make them divine individuals whom we cannot relate to compared to the rest of the people? And does it prevent them from communicating with and meeting the rest of the human beings? The final question, which is studied in this book, is why didn't they mention or announce that they are masumin? Right, the book attempts to give evidence about the necessity of the attributes of purification and infallibility that all the divine appointed representatives in this world must have. You can download this book for free from al-islam.org. The book is called Tahara and Isma of the Prophets, Messengers and Imams, Peace Be Upon Them, by Dr. Hatim Abu Shahba. After the break, we're going to come back to read an excerpt from page 19. Don't go away. You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf. We were talking about the importance of infallibility of God's representatives. We're about to read the book Tahara and Isma of the Prophets, Messengers, Awsiya, and Imams, which you can download from al-islam.org. We're turning to page 19, which is about why is it necessary that the prophets, messengers, awsiya, and imams are purified and protected. The answer to this question is simple and clear if we review the conclusions from the last three questions. Their tathir and isma is logical and necessary in order for them to perform their roles and jobs in the most complete and perfect way possible. It is needed due to their criticalness, vitality, and importance of their responsibility towards all mankind. After all, how is it possible that a messenger be appointed to convey a message which urges people to obey Allah, while he himself is capable of disobeying Allah? If that were the case, all of the message would fall in great danger, and that is not logical at all. How will the messenger present the very important and great message while he himself is exposed to lying, dishonesty, forgetting parts of the message, foolishness, lack of wisdom and mind, weakness, physical defect, and the negative aspects of the creations? This will cause his message to be surrounded by doubts and suspicions in its authenticity and validity. It will place a big question mark on the messenger himself and will give the enemies of the message an opportunity to attack Islam and question its divinity. That's because the mind will ask itself, was not God, the Creator, able to make his messengers purified and protected from these negative aspects before he appointed and assigned them with this grave responsibility? This question is logical to ask and may stand as a proof of a forged and invalid message along with its messenger. For example, is it possible that a doctor sends a sick and crippled person to deliver a message on his behalf to one of his patients or customers? Is it possible that a police department sends a one-eyed criminal with a tattooed face to claim that he is a police officer who carries a message to you on behalf of the chief of police? Is it possible that the service people of a laundromat send your clothes to you after being washed with an ugly-looking person who is wearing filthy clothes? Surely this can never happen in our normal life, and if it did, you will immediately doubt, suspect, and question the truthfulness of the message and the messenger. Each one of us carefully chooses those who may represent him or carry his message, and if we could pick the best of people, we would certainly do so. For instance, the workplaces and employers take extra care in selecting the most qualified candidate who will be representing them in every aspect. Take a look at any job application and the questions it contains, in which their purpose is to determine the extent of your purification in order to suit the type of work that you will perform.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
All right, that's all the time I have. I hope I would have managed to demonstrate that this is an interesting book with nice arguments that you can make good use of. It's only 28 pages, so it's an easy read. If you missed our program, don't worry. We introduce the book Tahara and Isma of the Prophets, Messengers, Awsiya and Imams, which you can download for free from al-islam.org. And if you missed this program, no worries. You can always download an archive of this episode and our previous episodes from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Bookshelf. Until next week and a lot of reading. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.